Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1326, we feature two stories by new Life Rattle writer Jason San Miguel. Jason San Miguel was born in 1985 in Manila, Philippines, the eldest of two boys. He and his family moved to Canada when he was 8 years old, and he spent his adolescent years in the Toronto suburb of Scarborough. After he completed his teacher education, Jason taught in England and in Australia before returning to Toronto to teach kindergarten and work in social services. He is currently pursuing graduate studies in education. When he is not reading and writing papers, Jason enjoys performing with his improvisational sketch comedy troupes around the city. Jason San Miguel brings a tremendously generous spirit to his writing. His stories, beautifully written, leave the reader feeling good. They're not sticky sweet or maudlin, just heartfelt observations of the better side of human nature. This is no easy task or common achievement. As humans, we tend to notice and comment on the troublesome or difficult aspects of life. In the narratives we will hear tonight, Jason captures our better sides. In tonight's first story, our pre-adolescent narrator nervously attends his first boy-girl party, and even more nervously anticipates his first kiss as a game of spin the bottle is launched. It will come as no surprise that this experience covers all the bases: excitement, disappointment, and some moony dreaming of future romance. Let's listen now as Jason San Miguel reads his story, The Boy-Girl Party, tonight on Life Rattle.
The Boy-Girl Party by Jason San Miguel. Rachel picks up the near-empty 2-liter Sprite bottle and pours the last few drops into Evan's cup. With bottle in hand, she smiles and says, "Who's ready for spin the bottle?" Everyone forms a circle. I wait for a few people who I don't know very well to find a spot and then sit down beside one of my friends. Erwin lowers the volume on the CD player, James dims the lights, and Rachel runs up the stairs to make sure the basement door is shut. Rachel's house, with its 15-foot-high ceilings, stone-paved driveway, and backyard patio, stands out among the other bungalows in Scarborough. Her basement, always the unanimous choice for a year-end house party, has an air hockey table, a ping-pong table, and a large open space for us to gather and play games. Outside the basement window, the swimming pool glitters, and the deck shakes as the last of the swimmers scurry out of the pool. They burst through the basement door and join the rest of us in the kissing circle. The basement smells of chlorine, pizza, and the sweat of excited sixth graders. This is my first boy-girl party since kindergarten. My first real boy-girl party. Rachel convinced me to go meet some of her girlfriends. I started at St. Andrew's Public School earlier in the year. My family had moved from a small apartment unit to a semi-detached house a few blocks down the road. St. Andrew's was the closest school to my new home. Rachel, who I knew from my old school, attended St. Andrew's until she was in grade 3. 3 years later, she's still friends with the St. Andrew's kids. She drops by the school sometimes to catch up with people. She gives everyone a smile and a hug and a kiss on the cheek when she wanders into the schoolyard. Everyone loves Rachel. She probably thinks this party will be a good way for me to be more social. She wants me to be less geeky, less awkward, less mopey. I shy away from girls. She's one of the few girls I talk to. I'm glad she invited me. I sit beside Evan. Tracy suggested that we sit boy, girl, boy, girl, so it would be easier for us to decide who kisses who. I ain't kissing another dude, one of the boys says. No homo or anything. A few people laugh. Rachel glares at the boy. I shove over and sit beside Sandy. Jenny and Donna circle. Then Jenny flops herself beside me. Rachel sits opposite. I think about who I will kiss when the bottle stops at me. Sandy, the captain of the track team, has a cute face, and her hair smells like citrus. Jenny is smart and can help me with my math homework. Both are definitely girlfriend material. The game starts. The radio plays in the background. Sixpence None the Richer's Kiss Me comes on. The Backstreet Boys' latest song follows. Rachel spins first, and the bottle's nose points to Eddie, the most popular boy in school, the captain of every sports team, and a straight-A student. His two older brothers, infamous around the neighborhood, groomed him to be cool. All the girls want a chance to kiss Eddie. Rachel leans forward and closes her eyes. Eddie moves in, tilts his head, and locks his lips on Rachel's. After a breath, they pull apart. Boys, Eddie exclaims, that's how it's done. Yeah, right, Mendel responds. You gotta use your tongue. That was weak. That's in the second spin, you idiot. Okay, okay, Tracy says. First time you land on a person, you kiss them normal. Then the second time, you French, okay? Everybody laughs. Some boys hoot. Eddie smirks, grabs the bottle, and whirls it. The bottle stops at Jenny. She blushes. Eddie closes in. He strokes her hair, cups the back of her neck, and leans into her lips. Some boys hoot again. As he pulls away, Eddie gives her a smile. Jenny blushes some more. Eddie looks at Mendel. And how many girls have you kissed? Mendel laughs. All right, cool it, Eduardo. Don't make me have to kick your ass after this. You can't kick my ass even if you wanted to, Shorty. Wanna bet? I've got a black belt. Let's see your handles, boy. As Eddie and Mendel trade shots with each other, Jenny spins the bottle. The bottle stops. It points at me. I look to my right and crack a grin. My lips and teeth tremble. This is it. My first kiss. I adjust myself and face Jenny. I lean forward for a kiss. I'm not feeling well, she says. I'm gonna grab a drink. Jenny stands up and marches to the basement corner. The other players glance at Jenny, then stare at me. I scratch my head and ignore their eyes. Well, I guess you get to spin now, Tracy says to me. Let me just check up on Jenny. My fingers shake as I take the bottle and spin it. I listen to Smash Mouth's All-Star on the radio, and the song rejuvenates my confidence. The bottle stops. I try to predict who it's going to point to. Cammy, Jackie, Sandy, Belle. It stops at Vanessa. Okay, Vanessa's cute, I whisper to myself. Her strawberry blonde hair shines in the basement lighting. I move towards her. Good, she hasn't left her seat yet. She smiles. I grin. She leans in. I pucker my lips and close my eyes and run through a million scenarios in my head. I imagine our first date, our first I love you, and our first anniversary, and all the first we will share that started from this first kiss. Then Vanessa kisses me on the cheek. Eddie and Mendel snicker. I ignore them. They start arguing about their bravado again. I sigh and hand the bottle to Vanessa. Wait, you didn't get your first kiss with Jenny, Rachel says. Spin again. Vanessa hands me back the bottle. I spin the bottle counterclockwise, hoping I'll have better luck. I watch the bottle spin. I close my eyes. Tracy's and Jenny's muffled voices resonate from the other side of the basement. Mendel and Eddie continue to argue. Savage Garden's Truly Madly Deeply plays. Then all sound stops. I open my eyes. The bottle points to Rachel. We look at each other from across the circle. Rachel leans forward. I crawl on all fours towards her. I tilt my head, my eyes locked in. Rachel's smile shortens as she puckers. I wipe my brow, take a deep breath, angle my chin, and press my lips against hers. 3.5 seconds later, we pull away and return to our spots. Rachel picks up the bottle and spins. She looks up and smiles. I lean back and watch the rotating bottle. I listen to the sounds again. Tracy's muffled voice still resonates from her conversation with Jenny on the other side of the basement. Mendel and Eddie still argue about who is more of a man. Savage Garden's Truly Madly Deeply still plays on the radio. Across from me, Rachel still smiles.
That was The Boy-Girl Party, written and read by Jason San Miguel. In tonight's second story, we join two friends, young men taking part in their first triathlon. After the grueling run, swim, and cycle, they put their own spin on the competition and finish up the event with a match of rock, paper, scissors. Let's listen now as Jason San Miguel reads his story, Try a Try.
Try a Try by Jason San Miguel. Get up, a voice says. Checkpoint in an hour. A map of Cornwall, a race guide, my watch, and a room service menu lie on top of the bedside table beside me. I roll to the edge of the bed and set my feet on the cold wooden floor. I did not sleep well. We didn't arrive in Cornwall until 3 a.m., and then the anticipation of race day kept me awake. I scramble for my pants, shirt, and race tag, then sulk over to the door and let Jason in. I just got up, I say. Well, hurry. We have to eat something. Okay, just let me use the washroom first. I'll meet you downstairs then. Don't take too long of a shit. Where does he get his energy? We first met in high school 10 years ago. We shared similar interests to go with our similar names. We played basketball and football together. We skipped school, pulled all-nighters, and cheated on assignments together. My first underage drinking party was at his house. Jason has his way of talking people into things, much like the way he talked me into this triathlon. I grab my bike helmet and sneakers. I take a deep breath and sprint down the hallway, through the door, down the steep hotel stairway, and into the hotel restaurant for breakfast. I follow the smell of bacon, sausages, and pancakes. I reach for a plate. Jason slaps my hand. He shakes his head and points to the lonely end of the buffet. He picks out a handful of fruit, cold oatmeal, cereal, toast, and yogurt. I take a slice of toast and 5 packets of butter. We sit in a booth beside the window. "You ready, buddy?" Jason asks. "I guess." I look out at the dark clouds hovering in the sky. I butter my toast with my 3rd packet. Jason finishes his fruit. "It's pretty muggy outside," I say. "Yeah, the water might get a little rough. You gonna be okay?" "I'm a little nervous about the swim. Everything else is easy, but I don't want to be pulled out of the water or anything. The bike part should be all right, and I can walk the run part if I have to." "You'll be fine. I'll be right behind you." "Yeah, but I'm just hoping." "You'll be fine. You got this. Now shut the fuck up and eat your toast." We continue eating in silence. I stare at the placemat. Jason gets up, pats my back, and grabs another heap of cantaloupe and oranges. We finish our meal and rush to the parking lot. We load our mountain bikes and gear into my dad's Ford Windstar and drive towards the checkpoint at a public school near the St. Lawrence River. We unload our bikes at the meeting point. Announcements blast from the speakers and triathletes race past. The young and the old mingle over refreshments and, in the distance, local news reporters interview participants, supporters, applauders, and casual observers. I look at Jason. He doesn't flinch. "You'll be fine," he says. "The river's not as bad as it sounds." "A lot of people with wetsuits. We probably should have gotten one." "Shit. Well, I guess we'll just stand out as noobs." We arrive at the registration tent. Jason and I find our last names on the list. An organizer approaches us. "Hi, I'm Kate." "Jason and Jason, right?" We nod. "I remember you guys. The double name guys. You were the two that called to ask if you could use a tandem bike." We laugh. "Yeah, we were really sad that you wouldn't let us," Jason says. "We would have made history." Kate smiles. "I wish you boys the best." She walks away. We watch her walk. Jason nudges me. "You should try to hit that after the race. I'll be your wingman." I chuckle. "She's your motivation to not die during the swim," Jason continues. "Now you gotta strut your shit and not come in last if you want to impress her." The sound of the set bell echoes through the meeting place. Racers scramble to the starting line. Ironman starts first, the Olympic second, then the sprint, and finally the beginners. We wait an hour. I watch the racers. They wade into the river. Their heads bob and their arms splash until each one emerges from the water at the opposite riverbank. Several stragglers are pulled from the rushing currents as they gag and gasp for air. Watching, I gasp for air with them. The set bell for the beginner rings. I remove my shoes and walk to the riverbank. Jason looks at me. He nods his head. "You're one of the few I can do stupid things with. You know that, right?" I nod. We put on our swim caps, our goggles, and our race faces, and we jump into the cold St. Lawrence. I spit out water. We wait. I start to shiver. I work to stay afloat. Jason treads water and signals me to swim beside him. "If you panic, backstroke. But try not to panic. The cute girl might be watching, and I'm pretty sure she doesn't like pussies." He pats me on the back. "You got this, buddy." We tread for another 5 minutes. The announcer's voice crackles over the speakers, and I can't hear what he's saying. The blowhorn honks, and the race begins. The first 10 competitors bolt into the open water, and the rest of the pack drifts, and Jason and I doggy paddle behind the crowd. When the current eases, we switch to the front crawl. Jason leads, so I can follow his feet underwater. Before our first turn, I swallow water. I choke, spit, flip to my backstroke, and signal to Jason. "Come on, buddy," he yells. "You can finish this motherfucker." He lets me pass him. He slows down and begins the breaststroke. The lifeguards approach us in their canoes. Jason shakes his head and yells at them to back off. We round our first corner with the lifeguards stalking close behind. I lift my head and see that we are the last two racers. Jason screams out directions. When I don't hear him, he grabs my feet and nudges me back on course. The lifeguards laugh. "Don't worry," Jason gasps in between strokes. "I got you. Don't die." After our last turn, Jason clutches my ankle. "Front crawl the last 50 meters," he says. "Do it so you can get laid." I flip over, extend my arms, and pull with the current. I focus on finishing the race. My goggles fill with water. I push myself to complete the last few meters. Breathless, I grab the tarp at the riverbank and pull myself ashore. Jason pushes me up from under the water. I roll onto the grass while Jason slides onto the tarp and onto his feet. He extends his hand to help me up. "Not so bad, right?" I pant and nod. "Okay, two more, buddy. Then we're gonna find that chick and get you laid." 2 hours later, we reach the finish line. Before we cross, Jason and I play a game of rock, paper, scissors. I choose rock. Jason chooses paper. He steps across and I follow. We walk towards the drinks tent and flop onto the floor. Jason points out to the scoreboard with our times and placing. 168 and 169 out of 170, Jason says. "Awesome job, buddy. Not last place. Now where's that Kate chick?" Jason stands up. He reaches out his hand and pulls me up to my feet. We grab some chocolate milk, a power bar, and a banana, and wander around the grounds. "I can't find her," I say. "Can we just go for some real food instead? That healthy stuff at breakfast didn't fill me up." "Sure, let's get some poutine," Jason says. "I know a place in Montreal. It's only about an hour away. You earned it, buddy."
That was Try a Try, written and read by Jason San Miguel. If you have enjoyed these stories by Jason, you can find them in the Life Rattle collection, There's Going to Be Trouble, available on the Life Rattle website. And I want you to know that we've reserved one of Jason's stories, a special story that we're holding onto until Valentine's Day. So be sure to come back in February to hear a wonderful tale, fresh and genuine, with no chocolate in sight. This concludes Life Rattle number 1326. My name is Lori Callis. I recorded Jason reading his stories. Life Rattle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Tune in next week for our Christmas 2014 program, featuring stories by Kira Weikart and Nathaniel Vole.